Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong, who is coming to you with his cohort, Apostle McIntyre. And today, Apostle Miller will not be with us, but wherever she is, she has prayed for us, and that we pray for her, that whatever activities she's involved in, that the Holy Spirit will lead her and guide her and guide them around her into all peace. Today, we're going to talk about a quiet place. And we're going to be looking at the scripture, Mark chapter 6, verses 31, 32. And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. Apostle.
Good evening, Apostle Armstrong. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Praise the Lord, I'm supernaturally wonderful myself.
Amen. And we are here today to bring some comfort to our listeners from the word spoken by his beloved son, Yahshua. We are going to be talking about a quiet place. Because
Amen.
All this chaos and confusion that's going on now in the earth, you got people now who are all torn up inside, people
yes.
who are speaking hatred, speak,
yes.
people who are even talking about having a civil war.
Yes.
And we who are believers, we need to understand that we have the word and we have
Amen.
The protection of
yes.
the divine, and he will not allow any harm or danger to come to us so long as we follow his word.
Amen.
And today I want to read this. It's subheading is Jesus Feed the 5,000. And I'm going to start at 30. And I'm going to go down to 36. And it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus, Yahshua, and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now, they have worked. They have been teaching. And among the other things that they have been doing, they reported to the Messiah. And then, verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going that they had not even had a chance to eat.
Yeah.
Now, we are going to overlay this on today's foolishness that's going on in the world. And you say you're not teaching, you are teaching. You say you don't know when, but you are doing it every time you make a decision. You're doing it every time people see you, that you haven't joined into the negativity that's in the earth realm at this point. And he said that they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Yes. Now, that reminded me of 1 Timothy chapter 2, where
okay.
he said, for us, Paul told us that we need to pray for all people.
Yes.
Even pray for those who are in authority. Why?
That's right.
So we can have a quiet, peaceful, godly life. Now,
yes.
let's, as we look at this and we process the two statements that was made here, and we see how we who are believers and we who are walking on this earth today, we who are people who are looking towards us for some comfort,
yes.
and how some of us are tricking the people. And
yes.
all you have to do is read, and those who are not reading, just have a plan now. I'm not saying you don't sit in front of that ignorant box all day long. You sit there and see what's happening, and then you go to God in prayer and ask the Holy
yes.
Spirit to lead you into all truth so that as you go through your daily activities, you may count it all joy as we're going through this time that we're going through, and the people will see the Christ-like figure in you. And then
yes.
it goes on. Now, this was Jesus talking, the Messiah, the one that the Creator sent into this earth to reconcile us back to him. So now
right.
it says, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And what's the difference between
mm-hmm.
a quiet place and a solitary place? Just getting away from
yeah.
everybody. And once you get away, you're able to see, you're able to think, and you're able to arrive at some conclusion that you would not have been able to arrive at if you would stay there. And then at 33
sure.
says, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did I just say about us? They knew that the disciples had something that gave them comfort, something that
yes.
they found peace in. Now, the people are gathering around us, whether it's in the prayer ministry, whether you're doing workshops, whether you're teaching kids sports, or whatever you are doing, whether you are feeding the hungry, the homeless,
mm-hmm.
feeding the hungry, yeah, they're hungry too. But, the people going to gather to where you are because you are not being judgmental. You are giving them some food. And I know whenever we fed the homeless there in Baltimore, we gave them an opportunity. Anybody wanted prayer, we gave them opportunity to sit with somebody in prayer. And we not only pointed them to various churches if they were really interested.
Uh-huh.
And then when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, now this is significant. So Jesus said, what? Was Jesus with them the whole time? That's a question that may pop in your mind. That I hope
uh-huh.
you have your Bible and read it and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them.
Yes.
So they understood who Jesus was. They understood what Jesus was bringing to them, that peace, that joy, that hope. Now, who are we? We are the what? We are in the image, and we are carrying the gospel message to the world. It wasn't Jesus, the individual. Maybe it was the word, what Jesus spoke,
mm-hmm.
that comforted the people. And
yes.
Now, what is it that we, the word that we have been given, and that word has power. That word has authority. Because John, if you look at John 17, he clearly, the Father dedicated the word to the Son, who the Son gave it to the 12 disciples, because the 12 disciples recognized who he was and who he was from. And they took the word to the world. To the world. So now here we are at a point now in this system that we're living in, where the people are tired of all the negative. The people are tired of all of that talk about violence, all that talk about hatred. Now, not all of them. Don't get me wrong. Not all of them, because we just saw that young man who was in his early 20s, he went out hunting people of color. He went on a college campus. At first, he had his weapon, and then the policeman was called, and he went. Then he chose to go to a Dollar General and shoot and kill three people. So now, how do we live? How do we reconcile that with the word? And that's why we are engaging on this topic here today, a quiet place. Do we have quiet places anymore? There ain't a place that we can go. Now, the whole thing is the word. The quiet place sometimes is not a physical place.
Right.
I hope you hear me now. A quiet place is not always a physical place. I know for me it wasn't. For me it isn't. For me, a quiet place sometimes is just reading the word, and the word does what to me? Give me comfort. Give me insight. And I'm able to relax. I'm able to release that power and authority that the world that is in the word. And the world don't understand that. So now, verse 35. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. The disciples want to do what? Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. The disciples were tired. They didn't talk. So now they just want to send them away. But what did Jesus say? But he answered, you give them something to eat. Now, where are we today? We want to say, just give them Jesus. Y'all just need to go and pray. Maybe they need somebody to pray with them. Maybe they don't understand what it is or how to pray in this time that we're living in. Maybe they're praying the problem. We need a prayer solution. And I know my quiet place was almost a month in August. And you could say my quiet place, I was on a train. A third of the time traveling. And it was noisy. But I found a peace. I heard the voice. And I recorded what the voice was saying to me. And there were certain things that came to me that I didn't even realize. I hadn't realized yet. But I am now prepared to deal with them whenever they come.
Yes.
So, quiet place. For me, it was noisy.
Yes.
But it was a quiet place. And I had the opportunity to witness to people.
Amen.
While I was in that quiet place. And and witness to people sometimes doesn't mean sitting there talking to them. Witness people may mean you just there. And they see how calm you are in the midst of a turbulent situation. And I was in the train station for about 9 hours. And the train was late. And then another train was late. But I was not like some people was getting all bent out of shape and going through changes.
Yeah.
I was calm. I was calm. And I'm hoping that people saw the calmness in me as being something that they wanted to know, why was he so calm?
Yeah.
After he'd been sitting there all day long waiting for his train to leave. And now the train is late. Only thing I'm saying is quiet. The definition of quiet. Your quietness might not mean the same thing as my quietness means. I know some young people, they like to study with the music going on. They're able to find a quiet place in the midst of what we would classify as being noise. But for whatever reason, it relaxed them. Now, quiet place. A quiet place. Now, you must expect something. Whenever I left here, I expected. I expected to hear from the Father. I expected him to reveal to me that which he wanted me to do and where he wanted me to go.
Yes.
And he did. He did.
Mm-hmm.
Even up to yesterday was the last day. And I went up to Cherokee, North Carolina. And even there, he was still speaking to me. And some of the stuff that we see on television about the Native Americans was television. Whenever you talk to them, that whole thing was that they did not use bow and arrows in warfare. They said that it wasn't fair. They wanted to give their enemy an opportunity. So they had a stick with a ball on the end. That's what they used to fight with. And, you know, you sit and you think about all of this. Fairness, even in war. But what we see is not that. So it was several things that the guy mentioned that caused me to have a greater understanding of the relationship that the Native Americans had to this government. Yes, ma'am. Now, you want to make a comment?
That was good. I'm just sitting and listening, and you're so right. When you were talking, the scripture, Isaiah 26:3, came to me, and it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusted in thee." And when you were talking about that quiet place, and the place that's really noisy in our lives right now is in our minds, it's in our soulish realm, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, because like you say, all of the things that we're seeing and hearing and experiencing now, those things have come to put pressure on our minds. They've come to make us believe that, you know, there's no way out, there's no hope, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. And the Bible tells us that, you know, the world will get darker and darker, but the church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, is supposed to be light. And I love what you said when you were saying about you didn't even have to be saying, just if they could just see that peace. Because all light has to do, if you go into a room that's completely dark, and to dispel that darkness, all you got to do is cut on the light. And as long as that light stays on, darkness is dispelled. Darkness has to flee. And you are so right. We are going to have to pull into God like we've never pulled in before. We're going to have to And Apostle Armstrong, we have to go after that place. It's not just going to come to us. It's not just going to fall on us like ripe apples off of a tree. We're going to have to purpose in our heart and our minds. Like you said, I expect it. I like that. You said, I expected to hear from God. So as the body of Christ, as we pray, and I like that First Timothy, we pray and intercede. When we do it God's way, we have got to come to an understanding that no matter how long it takes, it's going to turn out like he said. If he tells us to make red Kool-Aid, put red Kool-Aid in that water and it'll be red, it's going to be red.
Mm-hmm.
God is a God of integrity. God is a God of honor and truth. Numbers 23 and 19 say he's not a man that he should lie. So I'm like you, and when you had called a little bit before, and the Holy Spirit said, faith comes, like you used the scripture to do, faith comes by hearing. The enemy knows, so does fear. Fear comes by hearing. So if we allow ourselves to sit in front of, like what you said, the ignorant box, we allow ourselves to sit in front of it, we allow ourselves to just read all the newspapers and stay on YouTube and look at that, what we're doing is feeding our spirit negativity. Well, if you feed your spirit negativity, the only thing that it can produce is negativity. So we're going to have to, on purpose, deliberately get into the Word of God, begin to feed our spirits more and more of the Word. And when you do that, you will find a quiet place. Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There is a secret place in God. There is a place where no matter what's going on in our lives, God who is our rest, God who is our peace, God who is our hope, he'll put us in that quiet place. And when we trust in him, God will see to it that we will understand and know that the Bible says judgment's going to come on the wicked, but the righteous are going to be protected. He said we don't have to be afraid of the arrows by day nor the terror by night. Why? Because he's our protection, and he's our provision. He's our way out. It's not about any one person. God uses people. He always have, and it's still his plan. He's got certain people that he's going to use to bring to pass whatever he wants done in the earth. That's the way he's always done it. He had an Adam. He had a Joseph. He had an Abraham. You know, he had a Paul, and he had a Jesus. So God always going to use man. That's the way he set it up. And so God has people that he has strategically planted in this earth at this time to bring forth his will. There are also people in this earth at this time that are full of the devil. They're full of evil. They're wicked. And, you know, they're here, and they're pawns of Satan. Satan is using them. And like you said, for a 21-year-old young man, 21, how do you get 21 and you get so full of hatred because of what you're looking at, because of what you're allowing to continually go in your eyes and go in your ears? That builds your belief system. And guess what? When that 21-year-old young man was born into the world, he didn't come in the world with hate. He had to be taught to hate. He had to be taught that anybody that has a different color of skin than you, then you are to hate him. He had to be taught by the enemy that can't be room enough for all of us. There's room enough for all of us because this is God's world. And so, like you say, in peace, only peace we have is in Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace, not the peace that the world gives, but my peace, my shalom. I will take you to a place in me when you give me your time and your attention. I will build such a stronghold in you that no matter what the enemy brings, as you submit to me and resist him, I'll cause him to flee. Things that would affect other people, cause them to lose their minds, blow their brains out, and the only way you do that is because you think there's no way out. You think there's no hope, but God is bigger. He's greater than all of the things that we're seeing. And I know that there, we don't even know the half, Apostle Armstrong. The things that we know is enough to really bring despair and discouragement. You know, it really, you got people now, they're almost afraid. Now, people, that fear was meant to make people afraid to go to the store. He wants to lock us in again. That's what the enemy's trying to do, lock it down again, lock it in again. But what we have to understand that everywhere we go, God is there. His presence is there. His protection is there. So as we feed our spirit continually on the word and allow that word to be a faith in us, it'll be a courage in us, it'll be a hope in us, and we just know that God's going to provide for us and God's going to take care of us. That's just the bottom. The enemy is running. He's doing, but his time is running out. There's going to come a lot of exposure. I mean, God is going to expose a lot of these evil people. I've even heard the report that that fire in Hawaii was intentionally set. There are people on this earth being used by the enemy that's trying to depopulate the earth. They only want a certain amount of people, a certain color of people. But this earth don't belong. They don't have a right to make that decision. And it's causing a lot of pain and heartache. But God is not asleep. God is not asleep. He's very much aware of what is going on. And we as the body of Christ know that the words that come out of our mouths give him legal right and authority to operate in the earth. So we can't just be saying anything. Like you say, we can't say, oh my, it's getting worse and worse. Oh no, the kingdom of God is flooding the earth. People will say, well, how can you say that? Because he's greater. We have always got to pray the answer. Always pray the solution. And that's not easy to do in this day and this hour, Apostle. But if we know that God is very much aware of what's going on, God has a mighty plan, just like he delivered the children of Israel, you know, when he brought them out of Egypt, and they got to that Red Sea, they've been crying out to him for over 430 years, and he got them to that Red Sea, and it just looked like, oh, my goodness, brought us out of there, we're still going to die. There's no way out. There is a road beneath that sea. And there is a way out of what's going on now, and God is going to stand up. God is going to release his angel army. God is going to have the last word. We just got to make sure we're saying what he's saying.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to a book, and it was talking about how whenever you are stuck with tradition and experiences and all of that, and you are not open to anything else, you are missing out. And I looked at that young man, and I said, okay, now this is the result of slavery. The people who have enslaved us, they are one now. They look what's happening to them, the hatred that they have for a people that doesn't look like them.
That's right.
That's just bleeding over. It's been years since slavery, but we still got people who hate. That's the hate. So they thought they were doing bad stuff to us, and the bad stuff is coming back on them. When I remember as a little boy, my ancestors used to tell me, oh, what goes around comes around. When you're speaking bad, you better be careful what you say. You may have to see it again. And, you know, I thought about all of that whenever I was thinking about this young man and how he got into the condition that he's in. And what he's done, not really truthfully understanding what he was all about. And he doesn't understand what the consequences are of his action. And it's interesting whenever you understand the God that you serve, that there are consequences. And and God holds you accountable. We all will be held accountable. It may, the person that's doing all this evil stuff now may think that they are getting away, but just like Pharaoh thought he was getting away. Oh, okay, y'all can go now. All right, they're gone. They're moving out. Pharaoh said, they can't get across there's a sea. I'll get them down there, meet them at the water. And he got there. What happened? The sea opened up.
Yes.
And the children walked across on dry land.
They did.
And whenever the army tried to cross, they got stuck in the mud, and the walls of water just came down on them. And that was the end of them. But, you know, those were the consequences, the negative consequences that they put out came back on them. So we who understand that, and it's not that we want to be punished. It's not that we're trying to say we're no righteous people. No, we are not.
Right.
I know I'm not. But I have the word. And the word is what empowers me to be and do the things that I do and say the things that I say. And and as we share this with other people, the people who are listening in Ukraine, you know, people who listen in Russia, people who listen in West Africa, the people who listen in South Korea and in India, wherever you are, the Creator is there for you. And the Word, we get into that Word enough, and that's where we get to be at peace. The Word gives us the peace.
And that Isaiah 26:3 says, He'll keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. You gotta keep your mind on God. I'm telling you, I noticed myself, you know, the last few days I kind of been following along, and I noticed that my spirit started feeling, you know, my mind, and you know, I was kind of feeling something. I said, too much of the wrong stuff in here. You know, anytime you see that you're going to be defeated, that there, you know, all hope is gone, then you feed in too much of the wrong stuff in your spirit. Nobody's telling you to put your head in the sand and act like it's not happening. But the Lord showed us Wednesday night, and he said, praise in troubled times. He said, when you begin to praise, God gets in that pit with you. When you begin to worship God and begin to thank God, even those, I can't even imagine, like you said, the people in Ukraine and all those people that are having missiles flown in their countries, and their buildings are being destroyed, and their families are being killed, and they're living in constant fear day after day. I cannot say I know how that feels, because I don't.
Mm-mm.
I can walk out in the yard and, you know, well, you know, anything could happen, but like I'm saying, we're not living in fear that somebody's shelling where we're living and sirens are going off, all just living. And it would take, they're really going to have to press into God. They're really going to have to say, God, I thank you that you hear us. I thank you that you have an appointed time to deliver us. I thank you, Father, that you love us. I plead the blood of Jesus over my home and over my family and where we are. Because the Bible says in Psalms 91, he said, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, verse 7, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The people that are in these places where drought and famine and war and all this is going on, we need to pray this 91st Psalm every day over us, our families, our home, our nation. God said we don't have to be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noon, that he's taking care of the whole 24 hours. And he said, even though 1,000 can fall, but he said, with our eyes, we're going to see the wicked. We're going to see the reward of the wicked. And because we have made the Lord our refuge, he said, no evil's going to befall us. Those are the things that we're going to have to be praying and putting in our mouths, Apostle Armstrong. He said, no plague's going to come nigh our dwelling. Why? Because he gave his angels charge over us. So, Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now for the battalion of angels that you have released over your people, over these nations that are being held captive and in bondage, whose livelihood, and they're under the dictatorship of evil principalities and powers, these men that have allowed themselves to be tools of Satan, that's bringing so much death and harm and hurt and despair in their life. We just pray the 91st Psalm over them, God. We just plead the blood of Jesus over them, even over their minds, God. Some of them haven't had a good night's sleep. Children are bound by fear. There's so much going on. But, God, your 91st Psalm is just as much in operation now as it has ever been. I thank you, Lord, that you come to protect those that belong to So we just release peace. We speak the blood of Jesus. We drop the blood of Jesus over you like a curtain, like a blanket, your homes, your families, your children, even the food. Some people can't get food. All the things that the enemy is trying to do. We plead the blood of Jesus. We release the 91st Psalm over you. I don't care what the enemy tries to do. God has released a battalion of his angel armies. They know where you are. They love you. They protect you. I speak peace to your mind and peace to your heart. Command that spirit of fear to go from you and a spirit of faith to rise up in you, a spirit of praise, because when we praise and worship God, God gets in that pit with us, and he delivers us out of that pit. So we speak deliverance. We shut the enemy down in the name of Jesus. We cause confusion. His camp. The reason why Pharaoh followed them into that Red Sea is because he thought he was a god. And he thought that that thread opened up for him. And there are people now that is sitting in seats of authority, and they think they are god, but they are headed for a Red Sea. And God will, and he's going to deliver mightily his people. He's going to show forth his strong hand of favor, and we and decree peace in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus, a covenant-keeping God. God has said he knows how to deliver those that are his. God knows where you are. He see your heart. He see your prayers. He hear. He see your tears. And God has released his angel army to mount guard over you, to protect you and to keep you, not in some of your ways, but to keep you in all of yours. So we just speak the very shalom and the peace of God right now in Jesus' name.
Now, one thing that the enemy has done, the enemy has denied us of the truth. In terms of the word, they want to They read the word, and then they gave us their interpretation of the word,
yes,
because
yes,
their interpretation maintained control over us so that
mm-hmm
they will have the advantage. The
right
word
mm-hmm
is clear. Psalms 115,
yes,
verse 16. God was
mm-hmm
clear. He said, heaven is his.
That's right.
And the earth is for the children of men.
Yes.
Not
man
white men, not red men, not brown men, not black
yes
men, but all men.
Oh,
that gives
right
us the authority. That gives us power
yes
and authority to claim that part that is
yes
ours.
Yes.
But if we listen to the word, don't worry about having nothing here. You're going to get yours when you get to heaven. That's not what the
no
word says.
Come on.
And if you look at the word, what did the Creator say? He everything here on this earth that we will need.
Yeah. Everything.
He put gold here.
Everything.
He put diamonds here. And all of that
yes
stuff that we read about and heard about in church and people sung about, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going dancing all around on Gold Street and there will be diamonds and I'm going to have all
that's
of this.
Good.
You can have it here. God didn't say
amen
that you can't have it here. We have to
that's
learn
right
how to take authority. Take authority
right
over the world. Take authority
that's
over the enemy, so that we can have what the Creator wants us to have right here in this earth.
Amen.
And,
amen.
Yeah,
amen.
It's amazing how we have been robbed of our birthright. Yeah,
yes,
we just think that, that was just meant for them over there, and that's what happened. If we apply the situation,
yes,
look at the situation that young man lost his birthright in, and then apply
yes
that to what's happened to us. We see the similarity.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm
and once you see the similarity, act on it. We rather pray the problem. Well, God, you know, they just beating on us. They just, God. No. We ask God,
mm-hmm,
what is the solution? We ask that you
yes
intervene directly. That's the solution.
Yeah.
And take the stuff.
Uh-huh.
What did Jesus say? Jesus was cool. Yahshua was cool. He said, you know, he
yeah
looked at on his way to the cross. He said, he saw, look at old Armstrong
uh-huh
over there running around talking about he's an apostle. Look at McIntyre. Look at all those who are listening. They ain't going to
mm-hmm
do right. I don't know why in the world I'm going to go through everything I need to go through for them. But what
mm-hmm
did he say? Not his will, but thy will
that's
be done.
Thy
and he had peace as he walked through what he saw.
Yes.
It didn't trouble him.
That's
and
right
what and you can tell that he had absolute control, because in the end, what did he do? He told him, into thy hand I cast my spirit. He cast
yes
it, gave it back to the Father,
yes,
the one that gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything. What did that told Pharaoh and the king and all of them? Y'all ain't do nothing. Y'all think y'all did
yes
something, huh? I got this.
That's
and you think about it. Just think about it. How I Y'all have to forgive me. I get a little excited once in every blue
okay
moon.
And
there was a blue moon on Wednesday. The blue moon was on Wednesday, so this is my time to be excited. But that quiet place, once you
yeah
go to a quiet place, then you get renewed.
You
get renewed. And then what did Jesus
did
tell the disciples? I said, just send them away. Let them go get them some food. She looked at them. You got the ability to feed them. Go feed them.
That's right.
I mean, they had the ability to feed the
yes
multitude. So why are you going to send them to somebody else if they might not be able to get food? It's amazing when we sit down and read the word for ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truth. And that's what I see happening now. That's why we need to just be still and know.
Yeah.
Just be still and know. And watch how God is working things out in this earth.
But
and
you know,
working
Apostle
it out.
We've given so much power over to the enemy, power that he doesn't have. Hosea 4,
that's right.
Bible says, my people are destroyed. Now, he didn't say the word. He said, my people, born-again believers, are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected. We have rejected our sonship, our level of authority, the weapons that God has given us to do warfare. It's really... Well, you know the enemy is behind anything that's demonic, that kills, steal, and destroy. The Bible already tells us that. But so many of God's people, so many people in the kingdom, just like you were saying a few minutes ago, do not realize the authority that we have. It's just like if we were speaking natural terms, if you would give me a gun to protect myself if somebody tried to break in on me. Well, if you give me that gun and you try to teach me how to use that gun, how to load it, how to fire it, and put the safety on, take the safety. But if I reject that knowledge that you give me, and even though I have that gun, if I do not know how to work it, when that enemy breaks in on me, that gun is of no use to me.
That's
a lot of the people of God, like you said, we got to get in the Word. You got to first find out you're a son of God, that you're an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, that we have a covenant. I mean, it's blood soaked. Jesus shed every drop of blood that was in his body. And then he took that blood when he went back to heaven, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And that blood is still there today on the mercy seat, testifying to God that we have been redeemed. We've been brought out from under the power and the authority of the enemy. We can take the word of God, and we can change the things that are happening. But we are destroyed. It didn't say my people are destroyed because of the devil. That's not what it said. It says my people... destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you don't know who you are. And I have given you men and women of God that are standing up and decreeing and declaring my word. But when they tell you who you are, you reject it. The Bible says don't just be hearers, but become doers. We go in the house of God, we come out of the house of God, and we hear the word. But it's just like a man look in the mirror and go away and forget what he looks like. We're not internalizing that. We're not meditating that word. We're not spending any time with that word. So all we have left is what we can carnally think of ourselves. So it's not so much that the devil has us defeated as we have defeated ourselves. I told him Wednesday night, I said, if the people of God had to be brought up on charges, it would be aiding and abetting. We have people, and we have abetted the enemy with the words of our mouth. We have given him key. See, Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know everything. He's not everywhere. The enemy does not know anything until we open our mouths and give him inside information. Now, God's the only one that's everywhere, knows everything, sees everything, know every thought you're going to think before you think it, everything you're going to say. The enemy doesn't. He's got to wait till you open your mouth. That's why he keeps applying pressure to the flesh so that you'll speak out of your flesh. But what we got to do is get in the word and get our spirit filled so when the enemy applies pressure to the flesh, we come out of the spirit. And a lot of us, we're just because we just don't know who we are. We're not walking in the power and the authority and the sonship that God has given us. We got the gun, we got the bullets, you got the manual, but we just keep rejecting the knowledge.
Yes. You're absolutely right. And now I'm not leaving my colleagues out. We are going to be judged harshly because Who, how do the people know? How will the people know? It is with a preacher, with a pastor.
Yes.
It has to be a messenger to proclaim the word. And a lot of our colleagues, I'm being truthful. I'm speaking it as I have experienced it and as I know it. A lot of pastors, they are telling the people what they want the people to hear so that the people can stay long and give. That's not happening to people. God
is
holding you pastors accountable for teaching the people. And if you did not teach them, how would they know?
That's right.
If you didn't teach
them. That's
so
right.
We have to realize that Reverend don't know everything. Where's your Bible? Where's your manual? Bring your manual.
And whatever the
pastor says, read it and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. And that way, if the pastor says something that doesn't line up with the word, you don't really have to continue to sit there.
That's right.
If you continue to sit there, then you are one that's going to be held accountable because you read the word, you know what the word says, and you do not have a discussion with the pastor or anybody about what you heard. And that's one of the things that I strongly believe in now, that the pastors need, in this time that we are in, the pastors need to have a time where there's questions and answers. He can do it at a fellowship hour after.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a sandwich and a cup of coffee, a donut and a cup of coffee, and you sit there with the people if they have a question.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they're going to know.
That's right.
So the thing is that for the people to have a quiet place, they must know the word, and they must be able to apply the word to their everyday living situation and circumstances.
Absolutely.
That's what the Creator gave the people the word for, not to walk around and memorize it. I know what the word says. God says no. Put it in action. What's the use of having the word? And I mean, say you got $1,000 bill and nobody's able to cash it. What's the use of having it?
That's right.
It's no good.
You cannot use it. It's not worth anything because nobody can cash it.
That's right.
So we have to think.
Yeah.
Don't allow other people to think for you.
That's right.
I've been down that path where pastor says, what did you say?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing about the time we're living in now, it ain't going to get any better, y'all.
No.
And there ain't no point in us sitting around worrying about it. Because if you sit around worrying, you're going to get ulcers. You're going to have a stroke.
Yep.
You're going to have a heart attack. And the same mess going to be going on, and they putting you in the ground. Or they cremating you.
That's right.
You haven't changed anything. But your situation, you changed it because you got yourself out of here.
That's right.
But the thing is, we have to know the word for ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And whatever you read, if you need somebody to sit with you, call the pastor, call the deacon, call the layperson, call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The only dumb question is the question you sit there and don't ask, and it leads you astray. That's the dumb question.
Uh-huh.
And the question wasn't dumb. You was dumb for not asking a question.
Yes.
So there is no dumb question.
No,
there might
it's
be
dumb.
A dumb you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have set up in the car litigation. I wonder why he's saying that. That don't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, don't question. What did they tell you to? Don't question God. No, you can't question God. But God has the answer.
Yes.
And I need to.
Yes.
I need to know.
Well, he
question
said,
God,
man,
ask
of me. Isn't that what he says in James 1?
That's
if
exactly
any man lack
what
he
said.
Let
him
ask. Let him ask.
Yep, that's the word.
You need to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing where we come from and where we are and how we have been able, I'm talking about believers, how we as believers
yeah.
have been able to overcome all obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
All, not some,
yeah.
all
yeah.
obstacles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep.
Amen.
So I really hope. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that quiet place is in the Word and in His presence.
That's mm-hmm. right.
That's where the quiet place is. That's where it is.
Yep. The quiet place is like driving up to the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Your car is on empty. You're driving on fumes.
Yep.
If
that's
you don't
right.
put something in that tank, you're not going anywhere.
Yep.
You're gonna
that's
have to.
Right.
Somebody gonna have to tow you away.
Yes. Yes.
But you giving up your. Yeah, you giving up your freedom.
Yeah.
You giving up your freedom because your car is not going to move.
That's right.
And you're not going to have the peace if you don't get into the Word.
That's it. That's it.
So anybody who have a question about anything that was said today, the email address is talkingdrums12@gmail.com. talkingdrums12@gmail.com or WLArmstrong3@gmail.com. Now, come up with some conspiracy theory. We are not going to respond to them. Tell you that straight up. If not grounded in the Word, don't waste your time, because I'm not going to waste my time responding to you.
It's Talking Drum, what, Apostle Armstrong? The email?
Talking Drums 12, the number 12.
Okay.
@gmail.com. And starting this month, we're going to continue to put that email address out
yes.
to give people an opportunity. Mm-hmm. If they have a question,
yes.
they can
yes.
they can email it. And whoever's on, who indicate what program that you are referencing,
mm-hmm.
and that
yes.
question will be transferred to whoever the blogger is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
All right. We have 90 seconds. So who we have two callers on the line, and which one of you all would like to pray us out? Don't everybody speak at once.
This is Evangelist
right.
Strong. Praise God. I truly enjoyed the word, the whole concept of the word that went forth tonight. And as I pray us out, I keep hearing James, James 4:8, where it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
thank you.
Oh, Yahweh, we thank you.
We thank you for
allowing us to come together tonight, oh God, to hear thy word, oh God. Oh, Father, but not just hear the word, but take the word, eat the word, oh God, and hide it in our hearts, that we, Lord, may not sin against you, that we may know what to do, oh God, in troubled times such as this, oh God. Father, Lord, we ask that you continue to be a shelter around us, oh God. Continue to strengthen us, oh God, that we may, as your children, oh God, just don't take the word within ourselves and be complacent and be comfortable, God, and not come out of our comfort zone, oh God. But let us go out into the world and feed the people, oh God. Feed them the word, oh God. Not just the word, but do it in service of Jesus. Lord, help us to be better teachers and better lovers of you, oh Lord. And let us demonstrate the things that you, Yeshua, that you, Lord Jesus, taught us through your word while you walk the earth, oh Lord. Father, help us to be better, be doers of the word, and not just take the word in and not see the people, oh God. Father, Lord, in this troubling time, oh God, as we see the nation, Lord, in trouble, oh God, we ask that you comfort the people. Give them peace, oh God. You said, Lord, your peace you give us, O Lord, not like the world gives us, but the peace that we shall have, peace beyond understanding, O God. And Father, Lord, as we leave tonight, as we go through our prospective places or through the weekend, O God, Father, Lord, we ask that that peace reign with us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, bless everyone on the phone line, oh God, and bless those who will listen, oh God, in later on. In the name of Jesus, I ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom.
Yes. Yes.